Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's message.
Well, go ahead and have a seat this morning. My name is Sean Couch. I have the privilege of serving as the executive pastor here at North Star. And I get to preach today because our pastor, Jeff, is in London on a mission trip. So be praying for Jeff and the team as they're seeing what God's doing among college and university students there in London and the surrounding region. Go ahead and be opening your Bibles to John chapter 9. We're picking up our What's Your Story series. And as you're turning over there, let me just ask you a question. Do you hate the comparison trap that social media gets us into? I'm going to be real transparent with you for a second. I like to work out. And I know you look at this and say, but do you? I do touch weights a couple of times a week. I've got a rack in my basement that I can go down and do a little bit of work on, and I enjoy that. But what I don't enjoy is when I open up Instagram and I see these mountains of men who are doing 18 times what I'll ever be able to do, and I sit there and I see these guys doing these insane feats of strength, and I'm like, man, I'm never going to be that. I should just never touch a barbell ever again and just quit while I'm ahead, right? Have you guys ever had that kind of feeling? Maybe it's not about working out. Maybe it's when you see those like photorealistic drawings that you see people do on Instagram and you're like, how do you do that? How do you have the skill to be able to come up with that? You know, whatever it is, there's those times when we see people who excel at something so much that it makes us really just wish like, man, who am I to even think about even trying that? I'm never picking up a pencil again. I'm never picking up a barbell. I'm done, right? Well, it's possible that as we've been going through this series, for those who've been with us, I know some of you guys, this may be your first time with us or you've been out for a few weeks. If you've been going through this series, it may be that as you've gone through, you've had a little bit of that feel. See, we've been talking over the last couple weeks about sharing our story of what God has done and how God's been at work. And we've been making three main points out of that we need to remember how God is work and remind, so chew on those things again, and then retell that to others. And in the first two messages, we looked at, you know, just some little-known people like Moses retelling the story of how God delivered the people of Israel. And then we see Joseph, this guy who has this incredible story of going from slavery to second in command over Egypt. And it may be that you've had a little bit of that moment where you say, you know what, I mean, who am I to tell my story? I haven't had anything like that happen. I don't know enough. I don't know really. I'm just getting started and figuring out what it means to follow Jesus. I don't know. So this morning's message is for you, if that's you. It's for all of us because it's a reminder of what God's done. But particularly if you've been sitting here saying, man, I just don't know enough. I just am not far enough along and I can't share my story because I just need to know some more. My hope this morning as we look at John chapter 9 is you're going to realize some incredible things about how God's worked. What we're going to do is you got to leave your Bible open this morning because we're going to bounce in and out of this passage. We're going to be all through the whole chapter. So make sure you've got your Bible open as you're following along. And we're just going to draw three story principles like we've been doing through our other messages. Three principles about telling our story as we go through this. Now, this passage is chock full of incredible things that God's doing. There's far more going on this morning than what we could look at. Really, this is a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And he's showing himself as Lord of creation, Lord over the Sabbath, all these kind of things. So let me give you a little bit of context that will be helpful if you're not familiar with this. So Jesus has been going around. He's been teaching. He's been doing miracles. And he's made the religious leaders really mad because he's not doing things the way that they want him to. These guys, this particular group we're running into is called the Pharisees. They really had this super strict set of rules that they thought were what you had to do to be able to honor God. And so they're really mad because Jesus isn't doing the things the way that they thought he would. Particularly in this story, we're going to see he heals a man on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was the day that God told his people, you're not supposed to do work. The Pharisees thought that healing somebody on the Sabbath Sabbath was work, and so Jesus is wrong for doing that. That's going to be some helpful context for you as we dive in and we go through this. But as we go through this morning, I just want you to see, as this man starts telling his story, he doesn't know a whole lot, he's still figuring things out, but he dives right in, and I'm going to challenge you to do the same thing. Don't waste time in telling your story, okay? So let's dive into the text, because I love to be able to get into God's Word. So John chapter 9, again, is where we're going to be. Start with me in verse 1. By the way, one of the things I love about this particular passage is it's actually hilarious. It's so incredibly relatable. The way that John retells these events, it just makes sense. Like, I can put myself in the middle of that. So make sure you do that this morning as you go through. All right, walking through the text. Start verse 1 with me. Read 1 through 5. As he was passing by, Jesus is the man, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." All right, so the scene is set. We've got Jesus and his disciples walking along. Here's a guy who is blind from birth, okay? Realize that. He has never seen anything in his entire life. The disciples have a question that, if you were with us for the Job series, may sound somewhat familiar. You remember there were parts of Jewish thought that said, if anything bad happens to you, it's because something sinful in your life or something like that. So this guy was born blind. So the question is, well, was it that his parents were sinful, or is it that God knew he was just going to be a really bad dude, and so he just went ahead and struck him blind from birth? Now, we said very clearly through our series through Job that that's not how God works. In fact, that's a really clear picture that we draw out of this, is all of these bad things that happen in our lives are not necessarily things that are because of sin in our own life or things that we've done wrong. In fact, that's kind of our first story principle that we draw out of verse 3 here, and that is that God has a plan to use the broken parts of your story to show his goodness. Again, read verse 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." Now, we find out later, this is a full-grown man. He's at least 20 years old. We don't know how old he is. But for 20 years, he's been walking around blind and begging. And God's been setting the scene for this moment. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to ask you real quick. How many of you are 20 years old or younger? Okay? All right. Longer than you've been alive. 20 years is a really long time. And all of that was to set the stage for what God's doing here. All right? So then, God takes these broken parts of our story, and his plan is to show his goodness. Now, I'm not going to park here as long as I would normally, because Matt did a tremendous job talking about that last week. So if you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to go on our website or go on Apple Podcasts and find the podcast from last week where Matt talked about Joseph's story, because we see, as we remember and we remind and we retell our stories, that we need to reframe what those broken pieces of our lives are, because God's able to redeem them and make them something beautiful, even if we don't yet understand how that's going. That's exactly what Jesus is getting ready to do. Just like God redeemed the hard things in Joseph's life, he's about to show his glory by miraculously working in this man's life yet. He knows what he's doing, even though we don't see it yet. See it? Right? There's a pun. Okay, just seeing if you guys are awake. It's all right. We should be honest enough to acknowledge when we tell people that we don't know yet maybe how God's going to redeem this part of our story. Right? Year 18 of this guy's life, he's been blind from birth, and nobody knows why God's doing that. Nobody knows what God's up to. We can be honest and say, man, I don't know why God's doing this, but I know he's got a plan to do something for his glory and his goodness, right? All right, so he sure did it in this man's life. Pick up in verse 6. After he said these things, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes, to which we say, well, that sounds gross. Why did he do that? Don't know, doesn't tell us. Verse 7, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. I'm sorry, what? Everything about this just catches you off guard. There is nothing normal about any of the events that just took place. But it happens so fast, just in 2 verses, it's like, oh yeah, spit, mud, wash, clean, see. Like, can you imagine... Can you imagine? You've never seen anything. And all of a sudden, you wash some mud off your face and you can see everything. You know what's interesting about the miracles that God does when he heals people is often it seems like not only does he restore just like the physical capabilities of sight, but think about all that goes into developing visual acumen, right? Think about when a baby is first starting to be able to distinguish things and they can only see so far away and all these things. Like all of that happens in an instant to where he all of a sudden looks and says, hey, that's a person, that's a tree. This is like, I see things and I actually know what they are for the very first time. Isn't that incredible to think how God does that? In an instant, this man is healed. He was blind and now he can see. Now, here's where it gets funny. I'm sorry, but this just actually picks, it makes me laugh. All right, pick up in verse 8. His neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, isn't this the one who used to sit begging? Some said, he's the one. Others were saying, no, but he looks like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. So they asked him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud. He spread it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he said. Right? I just love this. Like, can you, I mean, picture it. You're in this crowd. Hey, isn't that the guy that was blind? Nah, he looks like him. No, I'm the guy that was blind. Well, how come you're not blind anymore? Because I washed. And he said, isn't that incredible? Just like, can't you just see it? The chaos of the moment. But see, in that moment, what's really fascinating is this: as this debate breaks out among the crowd, they're confused, and he tells them exactly what happened. So here's our second story principle that we want to draw from this morning. Don't wait to tell your story of how God has worked. Don't wait to tell your story of how God has worked. This guy immediately starts talking to the people around him, to his neighbors, to the crowd that's there, and saying, hey, I don't know. Jesus said, go wash. I washed and I can see. He immediately starts telling him. Now, what's really fascinating about this is he doesn't know all that much. Verse 12, right? Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he said. You know what's my favorite part about that? How was he supposed to know where Jesus was? Dude was blind. How is he supposed to know which guy Jesus was? Like, I don't know. I see people. I don't know which one's him. I was blind when he healed me, but now I can see and he's gone by that point. He knows very little, but he immediately starts sharing what he knows. Jesus made me see. Okay? As we go through this passage, we're going to see that it's even worse. The neighbors bring the formerly blind man. By the way, I almost named this guy Steve just so that I wouldn't have to keep saying formerly blind man. So I can say Steve, just so there's something to hang on. But so they bring the formerly blind man to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, right? You would expect the religious leaders are like, wow, God's done this incredible miracle in our midst. But that's not how they respond. He retells the Pharisees what's gone on. They get mad at Jesus because Jesus healed on the Sabbath and they didn't think that was supposed to happen. So this time he's not just telling the story to neighbors who were intrigued by it. He's actually telling his story to a hostile audience. We find out later his parents were really coy in what they said in response because they were worried about getting kicked out of the synagogue. They were getting worried about getting kicked out of the church sort of at that time. So here's what's really fascinating is this guy boldly immediately starts telling everybody, including the religious leaders. Pick up in verse 17. Again, the Pharisees asked the blind man, well, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He's a prophet, he said. The Jews didn't believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight. This guy just immediately dives in and says, I don't know, he's at least a prophet. They're like, well, but they're debating. Is he a sinner? Is he not? And going back and forth. He's like, I don't know, he's a prophet. So Pharisees get mad. They're like, there's no way this guy was actually born blind. So they go get his parents. And they bring his parents in. And they're like, hey, was this your son? Was he born blind? They're like, yep, that's our son. Yep, he was born blind. Okay, how can he see? They're like, I don't know. You got to ask him. The reason they said that was because they were afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. They confirm that their son was blind. He was them. But they're scared of what they'll do. So that they won't even testify. The Pharisees then, back down in verse 24, they bring the formerly blind man back in to keep questioning him. All right, pick up verse 24. So they summoned him the second time they summoned him, the man who'd been born blind, and told him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. How's that for an introduction? Talking about Jesus. Verse 25, the formerly blind man answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and I can now see. I was blind, and now I can see. Then they answered him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Check out the sarcasm. I already told you, he said, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? They ridiculed him. You're that man's disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. This is an amazing thing, the man told him. You don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. You were born entirely in sin, they replied. And you're trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. Interesting. You see, this is where the Pharisees have that same mentality that the disciples did, right? You were born in sin. That's obviously why you were blind. You're a sinner. You got nothing to teach us. Now, this guy doesn't know a whole lot. But go back to verse 25. If you underline in your Bible, this would be a great one to underline or highlight. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. Man, as people used to say, that'll preach. So as you're looking through this and you're thinking about it, I want to encourage you, don't wait to tell your story. Don't wait to tell your story. See, here's the thing. This is going to be an emphasis for us throughout the year. We want to challenge folks, and you're going to hear more about this next week, but we want to challenge our church members to be able to get comfortable sharing the story of how God has worked in their life with other people. We want to remind, remind and retell all year long. We're going to take some time. If you remember last year, we did some evangelism workshops. We're going to take some time on Sunday mornings to give you guys some time to learn how to share your story well and to get more comfortable with talking about those kind of things. But here's what I'm afraid of. There's some of you that are sitting there saying, oh, good. I don't have to share my story yet because I haven't been to the workshop. Once I go to the workshop, I need to learn a little bit more. Or maybe for you, it's you want to tell your friend about what God's done, but you know that they're not super keen on Jesus. And what if they've got a question that I don't know how to answer? What if there's something, what if they get mad at me? Look, this guy knew nothing. He knew very little. All he knew was that Jesus had done something in his life. He was blind, and now he could see. When they're like, well, what about this? He says, I don't know. I was blind, but now I can see. You see, I have this tendency, I can be a bit of a perfectionist, which doesn't surprise anybody who's known me for any length of time. But here's my problem with that. I can become a perfectionist who becomes a procrastinator. Why? I don't have time to do this right, so I'm not going to do it right now. But once I get some time, I'll take care of that, and I'll make sure, once I can think through it, once I can come up with a better plan, once I got time to write it, whatever it is, I'll get there eventually. But you know what happens? Eventually never comes. And then you kind of rush through something and it's like, oh, well, you can't really judge me on that because I didn't have time to do it right. Some of you are going to do that when we tell you, you need to share your story of how God's worked. And so what's going to happen is you're going to sit there and say, well, I haven't been to the workshop, or I went to the workshop, but I haven't gone home and actually really thought about it. And listen, you're going to be standing in the checkout line at Lowe's like I was the other night. And the cashier is going to say, man, wasn't that sunset gorgeous? And you'll have an opportunity in that moment to sit there and say something to the effect, which I stumbled on. I was like, yep, isn't God showing off? That was the best I could do. You know what I should have done? Psalm 19:1 is one of my favorite verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's one of my favorite verses. And I should have in that moment been able to say, you know what? The Bible says that that's creation showing off and telling us how great God is. Do you know him? That would have been so easy and so right there. But I wasn't ready. I missed it. See? In that moment, you're not going to be able to sit there and pull out your notes from your story workshop and say, well, you know, there was a time in my life when I... We want to equip you with that. We want to train you so you can be more comfortable. So when you have those opportunities, you're ready. But guys, this dude didn't wait. From the very moment Jesus worked in his life, he starts telling his neighbors, his parents find out about it, and he starts telling even hostile religious crowds what God's done. So let's be the same way. Let's not wait on that. Now, we don't know how long all this took, but it appears that in a matter of hours, he shared a story with everybody. There was one main thing he knew. He was blind, and now he could see. Let me slow down on that point for just a minute. You do realize that through all these events, God is painting a picture for us that is more than just a unique healing of a blind man, right? You get that. See, Now, these are actual events that really did transpire. I get worried sometimes when we use the word story because we're so heavily into fiction that we're talking about something fake. There was really a dude who lived for at least 20 years of his life blind, and Jesus really did spit on the ground, make mud, put it in his eyes. He washed it off, and he could see where he never could before. That actually happened one day back in the first century, okay? But through that, what God's doing is giving us a picture of what he has done in every single life of every person who has come to him. You see, let's draw out a third principle for our stories here. You have a story worth telling. You have a story worth telling. Again, my fear is it's like, okay, well, yeah, you got Moses and the deliverance of the people of Israel we looked at the first week. Joseph, second, from slave to second in command. And then now, yeah, this guy may not have known much, but dude, God miraculously healed him in front of a crowd of people. I've never had that. Well, think about how Scripture describes things. We're drawn to these dramatic stories, but you may think that you have a story that doesn't seem as dramatic as this one, but I promise you that if you've been saved and you're walking with Jesus, you have a story to tell. In fact, it's the same one as this man's. See, the Bible says that we were all born spiritually blind. And if you're following Christ today, God made you alive and able to see. Where do you see that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. All right, so think about as Paul's preaching the gospel to people, it's as though there's a veil they can't see through. It's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible makes it clear all throughout that you and I were born spiritually blind, and the sin in our heart blinds us to who God is and all he's done. Some of us are hesitant to acknowledge it, but there are also spiritual forces at work behind the scenes that want to do everything they can to distract you from the fact that there's a God out there who is worthy of your devotion. There's a spiritual system that wants to keep you distracted from knowing and following God. And if you've been saved, what that means is that God lifted that veil and restored your eyes so that you could see him, follow him, and love him. He's shining his light into your heart to help you see how good he is, and he invites you to follow him and know him and live the life that you were created to live. You too were blind, but now you can see. Like, do you know how good God is? You see, he's so morally pure. He's so truly good that he cannot tolerate sin. He can't let it go unpunished. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, which means every single one of us has turned from God's design and God's desires, and we've done our own thing. We can't fix that on our own. No matter how good you are for the rest of your life, you are broken and you can't fix that on your own. You're as blind as this man and you can't see unless God does something. The beauty is, God loved you so much, so deeply, that he would send his own son to die on the cross, to take the death that you and I deserved, to be buried 3 days later, to rise from the dead, to show that he'd overcome sin and death itself, and to offer you new life, and to call you to himself, to call you into his kingdom, out of darkness, into light, to give you eyes to see. That's what God has done for us. You were blind, but now you see. Regardless of how outwardly dramatic your salvation seemed, you were blind. And not just some mud in a pool washed that off. It was the blood of Jesus shed on your behalf that made you clean and gave you sight. That's a story worth telling. See, I was 9 years old when God saved me. I don't have this massive story of all of the things that I had been into and how God saved me out of addiction and all these things. But you know what? I was spiritually blind. I couldn't save myself. As a 9-year-old kid, I needed someone to rescue me. We started going to church. It was the old Main Street Baptist Church building, downtown Christiansburg. If any of your kids are going to VCS, when they get in there, you can go down. As soon as you walk through the back side door, there's a stairwell that goes up. I was halfway down those stairs. I was coming out of a Wednesday night kids thing. And I said, God, there's something that the people here have that I don't. And if it's you, I want to follow you. And that was it. Because in that moment, God took the blinders off. And I could see that there was a whole life that I wasn't living. There was something I could never find on my own. There's something I could never do, I could never develop, I couldn't come up with on my own. And for the last 30 some odd years, I've had the privilege of seeing him walk me through that day by day by day. If you have a story of Christ saving you, it's a story worth telling. Don't wait. See, there's a little bit more to this passage. Pick up in verse 35. We said earlier that the guy started sharing his story before he knew what was going on. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, and when they found him, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" he asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him." Wait. Back up. You have seen him. One of the very first people that this man ever saw was the Savior who loved him enough to die in his place. You've seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." We'll come back to that in a second. With the mud and the pool, Jesus healed this man's physical blindness. He still wasn't sure all that God was doing, but he was sharing it. Now we see Jesus heal him spiritually. We don't know for sure when that moment was for this man, of when he passed from death to life spiritually, when he got saved, but we know at this moment he recognizes that Jesus is the Lord of all creation for him to follow, and he says, "I believe, Lord." And he fell at his feet and he worshiped. When you see that you've got a God who loved you so much to die for you and who rose from the grave and now rules and reigns over all of creation and invites you into his family and invites you into his kingdom, that's the response. "I believe, Lord, and I will worship you. I will serve you and I will honor you." See, that's the moment. Romans 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." He knows now that the man who gave him physical sight is the Lord, the one in charge. He surrendered, he fully trusted, showing that he'd gained spiritual sight as well. And now he could walk out, share that story, and live his life following the Lord. So how do we tie all this together? Pick up again in verse 39. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" Verse 41, "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Now, Jesus is using some cryptic language here, so let's parse that out, okay? He's taking what he's done in this man's life and he's making a spiritual point. Those who are willing to recognize their blindness will see, and those who are unwilling to recognize their need stay blind. The Pharisees could be forgiven and they could be saved just like this blind man, but they couldn't see who Jesus was. The God who loved them enough to save them, but who would challenge what they thought following him would look like. They weren't willing to acknowledge who Jesus was. And so because of that, they were blind and refused to see. But for everyone who acknowledge before the Lord, "Lord, I am blind. I can't see on my own, and I need you," there's grace and there's forgiveness. We've been talking about sharing our stories this morning, and that's because most of the people here this morning likely have a story of Jesus giving them sight. But in a group this size, there are likely some, though, who don't have that story yet. Our hope is that by hearing this today, that there's a God that you're responsible to, that he's a loving God who cares deeply for you and has an incredible plan for your life. Guys, I've been praying this week that whether this is the first time you have heard that or the 10,000th time you have heard that, that for you today, if you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that he would remove the veil from your heart, that you would see the glory of who he is, and that you would surrender to him today. My hope is that today is the day that you see him clearly, you respond to him, and you follow him as your Lord. I'm going to invite our band to go ahead and come back up here on stage as we get ready to continue our service through singing and through giving. As the band's coming back up, if you're seeing this for the first time, let me encourage you to spend some time during this next song telling Jesus that. Talk to Jesus about the fact that you see him and that you realize you need him to forgive your sin and to be your Lord and that you're committing to follow him. Let this be the moment where you, like the man formerly blind, you say, "I believe, Lord," and you worship him. Now, after the service, I'm going to be over in the hall. I'd love to talk with you. If you can't find me, find one of the folks with one of the blue lanyards on, and they'll help you find someone to talk to. As a part of this as well, we're going to take up our offering this morning, which is where we give back to God a portion of what he's entrusted to us. Because he's been so generous and so gracious, he calls us to give back a portion because all of it belongs to him. So as we get ready to, let me again remind you, yes, God has a plan to heal those moments in your heart that are broken. He's going to do good things. When you see him work, don't waste any time. Don't wait for us. Get to work telling the story wherever God allows you to. Because whether you believe it or not, you have a story worth telling.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.